True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
You are going to hear Scott Jennings' show in just a couple hours here at 8 o'clock. We replay it, and I know for a fact he had Curtis Houck on the show earlier today, because I saw his guest list. Curtis was on a couple of times last week from Newsbusters. But Scott's going to join us at 5:30 with not only a preview of his show tonight, but just reaction to all of this. His show on Salem followed Charlie Kirk's. Today it was J.D. Vance that held that spot. So Jennings was on the air when this was happening on the radio, when it was sort of developing, and then he went to the CNN set, and that's when he found out the news that Charlie Kirk had passed. There's so much weird media stuff out there, as usual, on this particular story. David Strom, associate editor with HotAir.com, with us this afternoon. Hello, David. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well, though I have to admit I'm still a little bit in shock.
Yeah, the whole story is just bizarre, and then the aftermath of the story, and then the aftermath of the aftermath. And let me put this in that category, because you've written about it. You have guys out there like Lawrence Tribe reacting this way. Somebody with a handle of Occupy Democrats, and this was kind of spreading like wildfire the other day. Breaking: MAGA world flies into panic mode as the grandmother of Charlie Kirk's suspected assassin reveals that his entire family is hardcore MAGA. So Lawrence Tribe, I mean, he's one of the most esteemed law professors and experts on the planet. At least I've been told that, David, over the years from Harvard. And he says Kirk's apparent assassin seems to have been ultra MAGA, exploding the GOP MAGA attempt to pin the blame for this tragedy on liberals. The bad thing for Lawrence Tribe is he had no idea what he was talking about. He was very, very wrong. And he even had to apologize publicly. But of course, he does that in the aftermath of millions and millions and millions of people retweeting that nonsense.
Oh, absolutely. Randy Weingarten did the same thing. There actually was a very strong coordinated campaign. I mean, I'm on X all the time, which is unhealthy for your mental health, but it's part of my job. And I could see it develop in real time. I mean, it went from nobody was saying it to everybody was saying it. In fact, it got to the point where at one point, I believe it was on Saturday, I had two or three screens full of the exact same talking point. Yeah. That, you know, Taylor Robinson was MAGA, and, you know, you had everyone from Lawrence Tribe to Harry Sassone to Stephen King. I mean, these were not randos. I mean, these are some of the premier influencers on the left. And I think it was part of a panic or was developed as a response to the panic that they felt over the backlash that, you know, came about from all those people celebrating it. And they needed to change the subject, and they also needed to shore up their own base. But, it wasn't just grotesque. I mean, it was coordinated. No question about
that.
Yeah, it's
always, so look, I actually, sometimes I feel rather naive and ignorant, and there are things that catch me off guard, and maybe I've heard about them in the past, but I'm going to tell you right now, I had to look up what a groiper was, what the groipers are, because this is a part of that narrative as well, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, groipers are followers of Nick Fuentes.
Sue, have you ever heard that term?
No.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. So Nick Fuentes is this, you know, like white nationalist dude, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's just a vile character. And his followers, their whole shtick, aside from attacking Jews and black people and Indians and all of that, is to attack conservatives. Fuentes, attacks MAGA for not being conservative enough. You know, basically anyone who's not a white supremacist is a sellout. And so nobody likes them. And so the left decided, well, let's blame them. Just like, you know, they, you know, create this fantasy that every other Republican is a member of the Patriot Front when they're like 30 people or something like that. It was just an attempt to distract people. Now, most of these people had to walk it back. Stephen King walked it back. Randy Weingarten walked it back. Lawrence Tribe walked it back. But it floated out there enough to sort of shore up the base for them. There's about 25% of people out there who believe that white nationalists killed Charlie Kirk. And that's really what their goal was. They knew that they weren't going to convince you or me or even the average person. But they created a sphere of relief and also muddied the message for everybody else. They're trying to create a both sides. You'll also have noticed that the whole both sides argument that's out there. I got to share this because I had a conversation with someone who was quoting the fake statistic that 94% of all political violence comes from the right.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just obviously false on its face. So I did the most obvious thing. You know, I asked the what is a woman question for this, which was, all right, name me five. All right, I can name you five from the past 2 years where left-wingers, trans activists, I don't even have to go to all the violence on the campus protests. These are just flat-out attacks.
Well, they probably couldn't name two, right?
They couldn't name two.
Right.
Exactly. Literally, I started hearing about the Oklahoma City bomber. What?
Well, we got to go back 30 years, all right? So
yes,
we'll accept that one. But what else you got here from maybe modern times where you had an assassination attempt on a president two times on Brett Kavanaugh that could have been a lot closer? This, I mean, the list goes on and on. You're in your neck of the woods with the Minnesota trans shooter.
Yep.
Now, they like to go to your situation up there in Minnesota with the lawmakers as well, but that motive wasn't quite crystal clear, was it?
No, I mean, the guy, the political appointments he got were from Mark Dayton
and Tim
Walz.
Right.
Now, I don't think he was a Democrat, and I'm not sure he was a Republican. He was a loser, trying to climb the ladder, and he went to anybody in politics to see if he could get an appointment or anything else. But he got nothing from Republicans. It's the Democrats who gave him, the kudos and the positions and things like that. They also brought up the arson at Josh Shapiro's house, conveniently leaving out. And, you know, Shapiro was a Democrat, but he was attacked by a radical Hamas person.
Yeah, anti-Semitic attack, right. Well, yes. So you got the nut job that, you know, went after Nancy Pelosi. So I guess you have that. But look, the other thing about this is let's take a little bit of a step back into the rhetoric that got us here from the Democrats.
This means war. That is where we are. We are at war with these people. These folks are evil.
There is an ultra-right MAGA contention in this country that wants to overthrow the U.S. government.
It is a danger to our democracy. It is a danger to our way of life.
The MAGA movement is a threat.
The extremists that we're dealing with every single day, we've got to kill and confront that movement.
Yeah, all of that goes on. Then there's Chris Murphy from Connecticut.
We're in a war right now to save this country. And so you have to be willing to do whatever is necessary in order to save the country.
And David, he said that the day before this assassination.
Yep.
On Wednesday, Chris Murphy, shamefully. I mean, he's embarrassed himself enough with the father from, you know, Maryland and all that nonsense. But look, you know, we can go back and forth and, you know, you said mean things and we said mean things. But what I find amazing, and maybe we shouldn't because you and I talk about this all the time, is this unbelievably deceptive effort to tag this to people on the right and say this kid did it because Charlie wasn't conservative enough. He wasn't radical on the right enough. That's what they're trying to sell people right now still.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I would like to point out something that ought to be obvious, which is, yes, you're going to find nut jobs across the ideological spectrum because they're nut jobs before they become ideological. They're looking for a place to insert themselves and give them meaning. What is distinctive between the right and the left is the left celebrates it. You know, Luigi Mangione kills a healthcare executive, and the Democrats, you know, the moderate Democrats say, I don't approve of violence, but, and, you know, the left-wing Democrats say he's a hero and a revolutionary and a morally good man. You know, what really set people off was, you know, what transformed this from a horrible event that, you know, was isolated, would make people angry, and turned it into a national movement is the fact that the left wing started cheering. They started making lists of who the next people ought to be. Doctors, lawyers, judges,
teachers, professors, right. So that's my next question, because now you have this dynamic where there's this cancel culture out there. You have libs of TikTok and wokeness, some of the other sites very aggressively finding posts from people on social media that have been vile and disgusting, and they've been posting their, you know, their Twitter bios, etc. So some people are saying, look, that's the right doing cancel culture. What I've said about this a couple of times is, okay, I don't want everyone being canceled. I'm a little uncomfortable with some of this. But if you're in a position of authority in a municipality, or you're a professor, you're a teacher, or a healthcare worker, you had, and I talked about this, the nurse out in New Jersey who actually got suspended when she just questioned the doctor in the room she was in for celebrating Charlie Kirk's death. Now, she's got her job back, and he's been, you know, fired or he resigned. But some of this has gotten really out of control online with the blame game going back and forth as well.
Yeah, I wrote a piece on this because I think some of the criticism of it being cancel culture is right.
Yep.
I think that
I agree.
I think that there are, you know, sort of random people who are not in positions of power saying ugly things, and it is the role of their friends and neighbors to rein them in. And then there are people who have been elevated to positions of power. They're members of the elites. I mean, when a judge or a prosecutor or a lawyer or a doctor or a teacher, all of these people, you know, have a stamp of approval from the state, not just, you know, society, but, you know, doctors are licensed. Teachers are licensed. These are people who the government has said, You should listen to and trust these people. They're experts, and they have revealed themselves to be dangerous, hateful people who should not be in positions of power, and they should have that power taken away. You know, I had this conversation with a friend of mine who was an enlisted person in the military, and she's very worried because there are people who are getting a lot of pressure for and maybe even losing positions for saying, well, I didn't like Charlie Kirk. That shouldn't be happening. On the other hand, an officer who endorsed this should be dishonorably discharged. They are, they are exhibiting conduct unbecoming an officer. They are talking about using violence to kill American citizens, and they don't belong there. So I make this distinction between the people who are in positions of authority or representative of organizations and random people. You know, I mean, if you go and your barista, your blue haired barista wears a pin that you don't like, whatever, you know, I mean, yes, it's offensive. Yes, I think that person is a bad person or at least acting like a bad person, but their life should not be ruined. On the other hand, a doctor does not belong in that position. They should be gone, and it shouldn't be a hard call.
Well, and in some cases, it appears that it's not a hard call because a lot of these things are getting attention. And I'm right there with you. Before I even read that column, I said very much the same thing last week, and I tweeted something to that effect, that if your average, you know, nose ring, pink hair wearing member of the Alphabet Mafia wants to go off on this and dance on his grave, go for it. But you got people in much more, bigger responsibility positions that are doing this with, you know, the brazenness that I didn't even think would be possible, especially about 5 or 6 days after this all happened. Yeah. And some of them are not backing down. So I know you have another column up there this afternoon, and I'm not really familiar with this guy, Hassan Piker, but here's another situation where kind of explain what this is about, David.
All right. So the New York Times, which has, by the way, the most prestigious real estate in the world for putting out your opinion. The opinion page of the New York Times asked this guy, Hassan Piker, who is a Twitch streamer who has debated Charlie Kirk multiple times, to comment on this. What do you think of political violence and all of this? And, they're presenting him as this authority. Well, the guy, I mean, his whole shtick, and he's got millions of followers, is telling people to kill Republicans. Yeah. I mean, blood in the streets. I mean, you can watch the videos. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah. He's called Jews inbred pigs. He has said the U.S. deserved 9/11, and that's the guy that they hand over a writing assignment to on Charlie Kirk. And by the way, they did it on September 11th. It was printed on the 12th, but that's when they gave him the assignment. That's even better. It's unbelievable. David Strom, awesome to have you on. I got to run because of clock issues, but you have a great week.
Yeah,
all right,
you too.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Check out that latest post by David, too, on hotair.com because it's an important one. We're coming back.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we have Scott Jennings just around the corner here. Of course, we just started playing his new syndicated show, which is on the Salem Network. Charlie Kirk's show was on before Jennings. It was his lead-in. And, I think Scott's taken this pretty hard. He knew Charlie. He's someone who does public events, not unlike Charlie Kirk, so he'll join us here in just a little bit. We have audio cut of the day, and of course, you'll hear Jennings tonight at 8 o'clock. That's when his show airs from 8 to 9 on 97.1 FM Talk. About an hour ago, I took some live audio. Right now, they're doing a memorial service on Capitol Hill. Steve Scalise, who, of course, was shot during the congressional baseball game practice years ago, is leading some remarks right now. Speaker Johnson is there as well. But I want to go back to the White House because we aired some of this when it was Aaron, but we missed the beginning part of it. We were in Sue's news, but he did talk about a couple of things that I want to share. For example, there is an indication that Memphis is going to be a city that has the National Guard. St. Louis has been mentioned in this particular category with Chicago and some of the more violent cities. So what's he thinking about here for our city?
You've floated potentially going into St. Louis. You mentioned you want to go into Chicago next. Could St. Louis be after Chicago?
It's going to be around there someplace. Yeah, we got to save St. Louis. We got to save these cities. This isn't like, you know, we're going to do something. We have to save St. Louis. We have to save Chicago. We think Chicago is going to be next, and we'll get to St. Louis also.
And on Charlie Kirk's
and New Orleans we want to get to.
So there was a follow-up there on the assassination. He was asked about Ilhan Omar and her disgusting response. We played some of that last week.
Ilhan Omar, after his assassination, called Charlie Kirk a reprehensible human being. Should she be stripped of her community assignments?
I would say, I think she's a disgraceful person. You know, I think she's a disgraceful person, a loser.
And then there's the other side of the aisle. And this is the only encouraging thing I think you can say. And I don't know why it's only one Democrat, John Fetterman, that, you know, steps up to the plate and says things that are more humane and full of common sense. Now, he's kind of, you know, doing a little bit of a broader swath here with some opinions. And I think what's happened in the last week or so is another example. I think Fetterman knows this, that it's not reflecting well on the Democrats. And I think that a lot of people have been quite taken by the fact that Charlie Kirk and the younger people of America really have rallied around this. And this is a moment that we haven't seen in this country for a long time. So Fetterman's just talking about how his party has lost its way.
My party is acting in a way they have forgotten. They have forgotten one of the reasons why we lost in 2024. Some of the most extreme things were weaponized against that. And now some people think now we have to double down on those things or we must become more progressive or more extreme. That's absolutely not true. We are living in the backlash of a lot of the things and the mistake that we have made as a party.
So let me go back to one of the supercuts here, because let's face it, this is not the right that is, you know, calling for violence nonstop, calling people fascist, Nazi, Hitler, you name it.
Now it is all about the violence. It all is about an insurrection. It all is in his mind about a civil war.
It feels like we are not just at the brink of a civil war, but that one has already begun.
The fact that the base is getting smaller, it makes it more dangerous in a lot of ways, because those are the people who are willing to do things like take up arms and press the questions and tactics that lead to civil war.
This is someone who held that office who is basically saying to Americans, there should be civil war.
Look at what he's doing last night, as you know, that, you know, more or less salutes that are either QAnon or almost look like Nazism.
Yeah, so it's always about the Nazis and the fascists. Senator Fetterman.
Can't just be, well, Trump is always wrong, or that we're going to set the country on fire or whatever. That's just not true either, of course. A lot of Americans happen to disagree with you. That does not mean that they are fascists or now they want to shred the Constitution.
I mean, has there been another Democrat in the party that's actually said that? I'm not so sure there has been. Then on the assassination in particular.
You just don't ever compare anyone to Hitler and those kinds of extreme things. Now, look what happened to Charlie Kirk. I mean, you know, the man was shot. Now, we have to turn the temperature down. It's like we can't compare people to these kinds of figures in history. And this is not an autocrat. This is a product of a democratic election.
Again, some of the things that are coming out of his side and his party and the allegations that have been debunked. And when we went into the weekend, I really could not believe, and I even had a few friends who were trying to spin this on me, people who should have known better. You know, these are not radical. I have radical lefty friends, but these were not radical lefty friends who started giving me and texting me the LA Times or whatever, saying, oh, it looks like it's MAGA. It's someone that's to the right of MAGA that's responsible for this. That's their narrative that they went with. Now, one of the more interesting aspects of this, and I guess this is someone who is cooperating with the investigation, but we heard this from Spencer Cox, who's the governor of Utah, that he was dating this dude, and I won't say his name, is dating a trans person.
Some outlets are reporting that the suspect lived with a transgender partner. Is that accurate? And are investigators looking at this part of his life as a possible motivation?
Yes, definitely. And yes, I can confirm that. I know that has been reported and that the FBI has confirmed that as well, that the roommate was a romantic partner, a male transitioning to female. I can say that that he has been very cooperative. This partner has been incredibly cooperative, had no idea that this was happening and is working with investigators now.
That is a fascinating angle. I mean, the family's been very cooperative. They have to be horrified, the partner says, and you know, we'll have to see. There were questions that were raised today about some messages on some of this dark web stuff and messaging boards that went out where this kid may have even admitted to the shooting in the aftermath. A lot of this stuff is still preliminary and we don't know all the answers, but certainly interesting stuff coming out of the preliminary part of the
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Investigation. Audio cut of the day coming up here in a few minutes, but let's visit with my friend and 97.1 FM Talk political insider and CNN political contributor Scott Jennings. I have not spoken with you here after all this. How are you holding up?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm like a lot of people, suffering from a range of emotions about all this. I knew Charlie and had just been with him a couple of weeks ago out in Colorado at a Turning Point event, had been invited to speak a few weeks ago to an event in Tampa, and having had seen him and having just had a really thoughtful conversation with him, it just hits me like a ton of bricks. I mean, he was doing what we do, which was engaging in free speech and political debate. It's what our country's founded on, and they killed him for it. And so I'm angry, I'm sad, you sort of go through all these emotional reactions to it, and you're trying to make sense of what it means for our country. It's not easy.
So you just started this radio show on Salem a couple of months ago. We air it now, as I think a lot of the listeners know, at 8 p.m. But he essentially was the lead-in to your show on the Salem Network, right?
That's correct. He did noon to two, and I come on and do 2 to 3. You all re-air it in the evening,
right?
But yeah, I followed Charlie, and so together, you know, we were kind of doing that afternoon slot of, you know, bringing, I think, a sort of a different perspective on conservative talk, and you know, now he's gone, and today they had Vice President Vance fill in. I think they're going to have fill in hosts for the rest of the week, but I'm not quite sure what's going to happen with that slot yet, but you know, for the time being, I think we're going to have some pretty high profile people host his portion of it.
I heard last week you admit you and I have not spoken since, you know, this all went down. We've exchanged text messages, but I admitted that you were one of the first people I thought about, Scott, just because, you know, this could happen to you. It could happen to Riley Gaines or people like that. You admitted that you were freaked out, and I can't even imagine, you know, the reaction in the family to something like this.
Well, there has been a lot of reaction on that front. I mean, you know, I'm in the same kind of space, which is sort of debating people in a hostile environment. You know, I do it on CNN. He did it on college campuses. And, you know, I've certainly over the last few years experienced, you know, a lot of crazies, you know, on social media saying violent things to me and about me. And you realize that there are people out there who can be driven over the line. And, you know, look, Charlie Kirk, what I find crazy is all these people are saying, well, he was an extremist and, you know, he riled people up and he, you know, he had these views. Well, I mean, he was a mainstream conservative. I mean, he held the views that tens of millions of Americans have. And I always viewed him as a very mainstream, articulate, mainstream voice. And, you know, I mean, I'm on the trans issue that gets all the attention because of the ties the shooter had to that community, apparently. I mean, Charlie Kirk believed what 95% of people believe.
Yeah.
And that's supposedly extreme enough to make you feel badly enough to go out and murder someone. I mean, that's a very dangerous path when that is considered to be extreme, when 95% of the rest of us, you know, basically agree.
Now, Jennings, there's still a lot of information we don't know, but obviously you've seen this in the last few days. There's this effort to pin this whole thing on MAGA, that somehow he didn't like Charlie Kirk, and I think this narrative is blowing up as we visit here this end. He didn't like him because he wasn't conservative enough. That's what a lot of people have run with here in the last. Lawrence Tribe, now he apologized. Some people have taken this down, but that's taken off with help of the New York Times and the LA Times and some of these legacy publications.
Yeah, well, there is a willful effort going on the left to try to wash their hands of their responsibility for this, and it's not going to work. And apparently, and the governor of Utah has said this, Kash Patel has said this, there is going to be ample evidence that the shooter was steeped in liberal, progressive radicalism, this trans, you know, ideology, and I guess they'll be in court tomorrow, and there'll be more evidence released. But it is apparent, based on all the authorities, that this person may have come from a Republican family, but he himself was steeped in an ideology of radicalism and progressivism that led him to be on the roof that day. I don't think there's going to be any question about it when all the evidence is presented.
Scott Jennings back with us this afternoon. All right, now we also have this conversation about rhetoric, you know, and we had it last year after the assassination attempt. You got this other guy, Ryan Ruff, who's in, you know, court today for the second assassination attempt. You have a group of Democrats, and as I pointed out last week, and I'm very curious about your opinion, it's not just random Democrats like here in St. Louis or, you know, in Louisville, other places. These are the leaders of the Democrat Party, right? Hakeem Jeffries, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, all of these folks who have told us for literally years now that we're all fascists, evil Nazis, a threat to democracy, that we need to be taken out by any means. So, you know, the back and forth here between the two parties, obviously it gets ugly in many situations. But in this particular case, trying to pin Republicans with the same rhetoric, and there's vile crap that goes on our side, Jennings. I think we both know that. But that's quite something, trying to ignore that all of that has existed in the background here.
Well, I mean, look at Chris Murphy, the senator from Connecticut. He's one of the principal actors out there trying to sort of blame Charlie Kirk and maybe Donald Trump for Charlie Kirk's murder. The day before Charlie Kirk was murdered, Chris Murphy did an interview and said, you have to realize we're at war and you have to be willing to do anything necessary to win the war. And then the next day, someone killed Charlie Kirk. The bullet casings they found had anti-fascist rhetoric written on the casings. Hey, fascist, catch. What have we heard come out of the mouth of people like Chris Murphy and Kamala Harris and all those people year after year after year? They are fascists. And now the killer has etched their words on the bullets. He's taken their words and etched them directly on the bullets. They cannot disown this. They cannot wash their hands of this. They have told people from Joe Biden to Harris all the way down that Donald Trump and anyone who votes for him or supports him is a threat to this country. And they've told them they're at war, and they've told them you have to do anything necessary to win the war. And guess what? Now they're doing it. And so to try to disown it or walk away from it now or to say, well, it's both sides, I'm sorry. This, to me, is not a day for both sides. This is a day for the left wingers to take account of what they have done to convince this country and half the country and their own political party that Republicans and conservatives are dangerous enough that violence must be meted out against them.
Whether they say it out loud on the panel that you are featured on with Abby Phillip on CNN or not, you know that a lot of these people feel the same way. And, you know, they feel the same way about you and your viewpoints. You know, the accusations that have been hurled against you. So I don't know if there's an effort here where, you know, maybe the legacy media takes a little bit of time here to look at the differences in the approach here with the rhetoric.
The number one thing I hear after my appearances on CNN, and I've heard this for years from the people who hate me the most, is why is Scott Jennings allowed to speak?
Yes.
Yeah. They have gone beyond the idea that speech and debate is how we solve our problems. They've decided that, no, that's over. We need to banish, by any means necessary, people from being allowed to speak. They want CNN to fire me or any conservative or not allow any conservative on the air. They don't want Charlie Kirk to be allowed to show up on a college campus and have speech and debate with liberals. They don't want the debate. They want the debates to end. They use the word fascism and they use the word authoritarianism, but I think they need to look in the mirror because that's the definition of it. When you banish, or worse, your political opponents from speaking, that's fascism. That's authoritarianism. And in some ways, I think with Kirk, it wasn't what he said. It was that he was allowed to do it at all. And they, you know, somebody took matters into their own hands. That's what they hate, is the allowance of conservatives to speak in these forums. And that's what's really dangerous.
Let's reflect on a couple of the positives here, because first of all, I admitted this last week. I underestimated the impact that Charlie Kirk had, not on the conservative movement, but on the younger people in this country. So I think that that's really impressive. And I'm learning some things here in the last week about that. Maybe a lot of us are. The other thing is you've had a situation. I saw my old friend Bruce Pearl, basketball coach of Auburn, on Fox this morning defending Charlie Kirk. The band Stained. Did a shout out. A couple other bands, college football, the NFL. There has been a lot of surprising things, Yankee Stadium, that have happened here with crowds breaking out into chants, younger people really, you know, reacting to this. And even some of the sources that you would not predict would highlight, you know, this dark moment they have. So I'm rather shocked and impressed by some of it.
Charlie Kirk was an entry point for millions of people into politics, people who may not have ever gotten involved at all, if not but for seeing some of his content. He was attractive to people because he was articulate. He knew how to explain things. But also a big part of his appeal, I think, was his faith. I mean, as much as the political debates went viral, he was constantly out there talking about his faith. And I think that also had appeal across the spectrum, whether it was in sports or other areas of our media. And just a few weeks ago, Lamar Jackson, the quarterback for the Ravens, got in trouble for retweeting, a religious post from Charlie Kirk about Jesus. And so,
I didn't know that.
Oh, the mob came after Lamar Jackson, the best quarterback in the yes.
And I missed that.
Oh yeah. And so when you look into these different areas of our culture, there were a lot of people that were attracted to Charlie. Yes, some for politics, but I think a lot for just his willingness to openly discuss his faith and how that had an impact on his life. And I think as much as the radical progressive left hates people that are conservatives, I think they really, really hate people who organize their lives around their Christian faith. And they make that perfectly clear every single day. And so Charlie represented in their eyes, the worst of both worlds. Not only was he a conservative, but he was a strong Christian. And to them, that was a threat that could not be tolerated. And so I think we need to look on this. And look, we had the shooting at the school in Minneapolis. That's at a Catholic church. We had the shooting at the school in Nashville. That was at a Christian school. Some of the war here is not just on conservatives. It's on Christians and people who profess their Christian faith in the public square. Very, very dangerous.
All right, so your show's going to air here on 97.1 FM Talk in just a few hours at 8 o'clock. I think you had Curtis Houck on today. He's one of my favorites. He was on actually my show a couple of times last week highlighting some of the media nonsense. Anything else we should know about tonight at 8 o'clock on 97.1 FM Talk?
Well, I had a great interview with Andrew Colvett, who was Charlie Kirk's best friend, his business partner, and he's the spokesperson for Turning Point USA. And we talked a lot about some of the nonsense we've heard in the media. I asked him point blank, are they planning any legal action against people who are defaming or slandering Charlie Kirk by lying about some of the things he said? You're going to want to hear his answer to that question. But Andrew is a great guy. He knew Charlie better than anybody, and we had a great conversation. That's the second half of the show. So, yep, we had Curtis on to discuss some of the nuts in the media. Andrew gave us some insight into what's going on at Turning Point. It's a great show tonight.
Jennings, hang in there. I can hear you a little exhausted there, and I can imagine that you are after all this in the last week. So we will perhaps maybe start talking baseball again in 2027 because it does not seem appropriate from a variety of perspectives to talk about the Cardinals right now. Sadly.
No, I sat up and watched that entire game the other night where we lost in extra innings, and you talk about being deflated after everything that's happened, and you're up 6-1 against the Brewers, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we lost. I mean, it's one thing after another. But yeah, we'll get back to baseball sometime soon, I'm sure.
All right, Jennings, we'll hear you tonight at 8:00. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mark.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, I thought we'd spend a little time getting caught up on where the investigation into the motive for this assassination is. Here's David Spunt on Fox with some interesting nuggets from earlier this afternoon.
About 2 hours before he was turned into authorities, this according to the Washington Post. We are working to independently confirm this as well, but the Washington Post says that Tyler Robinson, the 22-year-old suspect charged in Charlie Kirk's murder, confessed, and I want to read this according to the Washington Post, writing on Discord, that social media chat group that the FBI says he used, quote, "Hey guys, I have bad news for you all. It was me at UVU yesterday. I'm sorry for all of this." This coming from the Washington Post. Now, this comes as DOJ officials began late last week and over the weekend looking at the potential for at least one federal charge. No guarantee they'll get there. A department spokesperson declined comment, but a source familiar said investigators are not ruling anything out at this time, especially his online gaming presence, his chats, as we just mentioned. Who was he talking to?
So Kash Patel, the FBI director, offered some insight into what evidence they have at this point, like DNA evidence.
There was evidence, DNA evidence that could be collected and had been collected, including a screwdriver that was found on the rooftop. Also, we went over to the scene in the wooded area where the firearm was discarded. And the firearm had a towel wrapped around it. I can report today that the DNA hits from the towel that was wrapped around the firearm and the DNA on the screwdriver are positively processed for the suspect in custody.
You still have people out there on the left that are trying to twist this and make the case that this kid did this because Charlie Kirk wasn't extreme enough, that this kid was influenced by, some of the white nationalists out there, and he wasn't going far enough on the right. That's why he did this. There seemingly is no evidence of that whatsoever, though.
My job as FBI director is not to speak to motive, is to speak to the facts. And that's what I'm going to do. His family has collectively told investigators that he subscribed to left-wing ideology, and even more so in these last couple of years. And he had a text message exchange, he, the suspect, with another individual, in which he claimed that he had an opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk, and he was going to do it because of his hatred for what Charlie stood for. Those are factually accurate investigatory findings by the FBI that we've handed over to the local authorities and the federal authorities to make their prosecutorial decisions. But I believe in this instance of such public importance, the public has a right to know. And I've told you I'm committed to transparency, and that's what I'm doing.
There you go, Kash Patel. There's your audio cut of the day. Have a great Monday night. We got 2 football games tonight. Talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Get more at 971talk.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.